In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
We are now impeaching over imaginary crimes. That's how far we've fallen. Crimes of interpretation. Not what someone did, not what someone actually said, but the imaginary crime of what they think you meant when you said something. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. For years now, Democrats have alleged they can read your mind and know your heart without ever having met you. But they're sure you're a racist. And now, despite 4 years of wanting to make America great again, now they're sure that what you and 75 million other Americans really meant by that was you wanted to destroy it. And that by defend the Constitution, what you really meant was you wanted to abuse your power and destroy your political opposition. So that's what they're going to do to you. I guess because if you do it, it's bad, but when they do it, it's holy and sanctified. And raping America's most sacred documents and foundations is somehow saving America. What the Democrats seem to be seeking is a forcible return to the nobility, sans the noble part. Now that they've seized control, you're not to question your betters, but they can punish you just for being a Trump supporter, which we'll talk about later. No, you better not even raise your voice in opposition. Just look what happened to people who confronted Mitt Romney on his Delta airline ride to D.C. He'd already announced to the mostly conservative people of Utah that he had no plans to challenge the electoral vote, that to question highly questionable results was somehow un-American. So some of those people from Utah, also on that plane to D.C., shouted at him and called him a traitor. But what happened? Delta Airline put the people who dared raise their voice to their elected official on a no-fly list, banning them from future air travel. I wonder what would have happened if they'd shouted racist rather than traitor. But think about that. Did any airlines ever ban any Black Lives Matter, any Antifa, any Democrat who shrieked the most horrendous, hateful things at President Trump? Some so-called celebrities and activists openly called for the murder of President Trump. Activists assaulted the White House. They surrounded it, threatened it. Did a single person who did such horrific things suffer any kind of consequences from airlines? No, because they're from the correct class. They're the new nobility. This is just the beginning. They will punish you for any resistance, any opposition. You will do what you're told, peasant. Put simply, the political right want to govern. The left want to rule. And they want complete control because in the war between control versus freedom, control is never satisfied with just control. It must be total control. And even that is not good enough because people who seek complete control over others are fighting their own internal personal demons of inadequacy and self-loathing. People on the left tend to be that way because they want bigger government. They want more control over everybody. It's why so many of them project on others with such ferocity that which they themselves truly are. They see race in everything, therefore you must be a racist. Just look at 2017. What did they shriek about Trump when he was taking the presidency? That he would destroy the economy and jail his political opponents. Funny how that is. Seems to me they were shouting at the mirror because here we are, 2021, and what are the Democrats doing? Destroying the economy with even more lockdowns and threatening to jail their political opponents. On today's show, we'll be looking at what happened in D.C. We'll welcome back Carrie Sheffield, the anchor of Just the News AM, to find out more about the riot in D.C. as they search for what really happened, including a Freedom of Information request that sought to find out what Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell knew about the potential attacks on the Capitol. The FOIA request was immediately rejected. Could it be because it just might expose what really happened? And don't miss a surprising source who says he knows who was really responsible for what happened in D.C. But first, you know, every now and then we come across a new organization that you can just tell is going to be a great connection. And joining us now is Justin Danhoff. He's the general counsel and director of the Free Enterprise Project. Justin, it is great to talk to you.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Mark.
Yeah, so let's help our audience get to know your organization a little bit more. Tell us about Free Enterprise Project, what you do, and how and why you do it.
Sure. So the Free Enterprise Project is a division of the National Center for Public Policy Research. We're a Washington, D.C.-based think tank that's been around since 1982. And we have a very unique mission. Our late founder, Amy Ridenour, set up the National Center to be a do tank, not a think tank. Mm. So while we do produce some white papers from time to time, that is not the majority of what we do. At the Free Enterprise Project, we engage in shareholder activism. That is, we invest in many large publicly traded companies here in the United States so that we have a voice in the room. What we noticed a little more than a decade ago was corporate America just slowly but steadily marching to the beat of the liberal drummer. And we were sort of confused as to, you know, why, right? America's capitalistic system has lifted more people out of poverty than any system mankind has ever created.
Yes.
And why would we start turning our backs on that? And so we started to look at the investment community and the activist investors that were engaged in shareholder activism. And there was not a single conservative group to be found. There was, of course, you know, the unions, the SEIU, the Teamsters, the AFL-CIO. But then there was this whole cadre of, quote, socially responsible investment firms back then. Now we would refer to them under the banner of ESG. That's environment, social, and governance. When we dug into what they were really doing, all these fancy words, socially responsible investing, corporate social responsibility, environment, social, and governance, they don't mean what the English definition of those words mean. We found them to mean whatever a liberal interest group was asking corporate America to do on a given day. And so we set up the Free Enterprise Project to be the exact counterpart to that. And to this day, if you broke down the groups involved in this, there's us from the conservative perspective, and there's still about 100 groups on the left that do what I do. And if I put up a pie chart of the finances backing the left versus the right on these issues, you wouldn't even see the sliver that my organization has.
How is it that you're the only one doing this?
Well, there's a couple reasons. First, big business and the corporate cultural lane is the most recent. If you divide America into cultural lanes, you know, you've got media, you've got social media, you've got the churches, you've got education and academia. Those lanes have all been ceded to the left, Hollywood, entertainment, right, long ago. Academia was lost long ago. Business is the most recent that the left is trying to take over. So it you know, what folks normal out there see is they'll open the newspaper and they'll see, in your neck of the woods, for example, Nike pulled a tribute shoe to Betsy Ross because Colin Kaepernick requested it. That sounds crazy. Or they'll pick up the Wall Street Journal and say, Citigroup and Bank of America canceled their own gun manufacturing clients? That seems crazy. Well, I live in the world that is witnessing why all of that is happening. And it's because the left has taken their march through the institutions one by one, and corporate America is their basically the closing gambit on all of the cultural lanes in society, right? Mainstream media is far left. Social media was always far left. Right. The last few weeks have proven that in spades. Again, Hollywood, many of America's churches have turned very far to the left. Academia, again, lost long ago to the Marxist left. And so they're doing exactly what they did to college campuses. They're doing that to big businesses right now. I call it the tripart takeover of corporate America, where it's the same way they took over college campuses. It's top down, it's bottom up, and it's outside in. What do I mean by top down? Well, large publicly traded companies, if you look at the Fortune 1 through 100, 70% of board members lean to the left, and the rest are mostly independent with only a handful of conservatives surviving. So this is the same way you took over college campuses, right? You set up a tenure system. that was supposed to be designed for, quote, extending academic freedom to professors. In reality, we know that turned into a mechanism to blackball conservative and traditional minded professors, right?
That's right. That's
where we have certain institutions now that literally have zero Republicans on their staff at all. That's the top down takeover. And again, it resembles exactly what happened to academia.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's actually go ahead and take a break there and have you continue that thought on the other side of this. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more with Justin Danhoff after this. And welcome back. We're talking with Justin Danhoff. He is the General Counsel and Director of the Free Enterprise Project. And Justin, going into that break there, you're talking about the top-down takeover of academia. And I'm sorry I had to break in there, but why don't you go ahead and continue your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So again, the tripart nature of the way that the left took their march through and took over academia is exactly what they're doing to big business right now. So the top-down is the construct of the boards of directors, where they're essentially setting up the same thing as tenure for college professors, where they're blackballing conservative thought and conservative individuals from the boardroom. So the next part of the takeover, again, resembles college campuses, is what I call bottom up. And that is, through my role at the Free Enterprise Project, I engage with so many corporate leaders on the broad array of environment, social, and governance issues. And you can just pick your pet topic. It does not matter. You know, I'll ask a company, why would you fund Planned Parenthood? That's very controversial. Why would you donate to the Southern Poverty Law Center? That's a highly controversial organization. Or pick anything. Why do you oppose, you know, President Trump on immigration and travel? I mean, some of these companies spoke out against their own tax cuts, for goodness sake, that the president gave them. And I just asked them, you know, why do you take so many publicly facing liberal positions when you know that half of your, you know, clientele and half of your investors probably are conservative? And I get the same answer so often that it rings in my ears at night. They all tell me to a man, that is what our employees want us to do. The employees are agitating management across the industries. This is not just in Hollywood, not just in Silicon Valley. This is all across corporate America. And what we're witnessing is the same thing you see on college campuses. Conservatives self-censor. You know that your grades are beholden to Marxist professors that hate your worldview, so you keep your worldview to yourself. Right. In law school, where, you know, where I went to law school, this was even more pronounced than it is on college campuses. So the higher up you get in academia, generally the worse this becomes. So it's 2021. Say you believe in traditional marriage. Are you going to say that at the water cooler, whether you work at Facebook or United Airlines or Pepsi? It doesn't matter. You're not going to say that. But if you want your company to fund the human rights campaign and their next LGBTQ gala, well, just Google the Human Rights Campaign corporate sponsors and tell me how many companies gladly fork over money to that organization. So that's exactly what we're seeing happening. And again, it's the same as the college campus takeover. And then the third part, the third leg of that stool, that's the world I live in. Again, that's where we started talking about the Free Enterprise Project. That's outside in. That is outside organizations that try to act as the tail that wags the dog of corporate America. And as I mentioned in the first segment, the left dominates this sphere as well. Because in my estimation, the reason for this is conservatives have this inclination that if a company does something we don't like, let's go back to the Nike example, pulling the Betsy Ross tribute shoe. Well, conservatives on Facebook and Twitter, you know, were burning their Nikes. I saw one guy throw them in a wood shedder. So we're never going to buy Nike products again. Well, first of all, it's not true. The history of the conservative boycott is an epic failure. So that should be noted. But secondarily, what are you telling the company? You're telling the company you're going to distance yourself from them. And if you take your voice out of the discussion, why would they listen to you? I've got a little secret for folks. Liberals don't boycott companies very well either. They threaten to, just like conservatives do, but they don't follow through either. What they really do is when a company offends a liberal sensibility, liberals rise up and they engage more. So in a word, the solution to ending corporate America's march to the left is engagement. The right must engage at the same level of vigor and ferocity with which the left engages corporations, or we'll continue to cede that field and it'll just become another college campus.
Well, a lot of questions out of that. I'm glad you mentioned that about the engagement issue, because my question was, okay, with this tripart takeover of whether it's academia or big business, how do we start fighting back to that? Is there more solutions other than just the engagement end?
Well,
let's take the top down thing. It's not like you can just immediately insert yourself into the C-suite of corporations. So how do you fight back on that side of things, on the top down part?
Yeah, absolutely. So one example is I started about 2 years ago, once I saw what the left was really trying to do with corporate boards, I started filing shareholder resolutions with many of the large publicly traded companies in the United States, asking for diversification of their boards, board mm-hmm. diversity. Mm-hmm. Except while the left has been hectoring companies to increase the gender and ethnic makeup of their boards, I define diversity in like the real way, like diversity of thought, viewpoint diversity, and ideological balance. Because as companies get more engaged in the political arena, and we're not going to unring that bell anytime soon, I really think it's beholden to hear from both sides of the aisle when they're making large decisions on public policy issues and whether to wade into them or not in the first place. And so this is one way I'm trying to attack the top-down problem. And it's interesting because the left, when they file their resolutions on this topic that, again, only go skin deep, right? Only look at the outward appearance of somebody and define diversity that way. They actually have a noble goal. The goal of the left's proposals have been for corporations to avoid groupthink. And I think that is important for the board. But if you're saying the way to do that is to put a woman in a board spot, aren't you really saying that all women think the same based on their gender? We used to call that sexist in the United States of America. And the same thing for race. We used to call that racist. So yeah. Again, I just took that proposal and I turned it on its head. And I said, if you want to avoid groupthink, I don't know, why don't you focus on getting people in the room that think differently, not just look differently? And it's very hard for a corporation to fight back against that logic.
Okay, lots of more questions here for you. In fact, I want to come back on that because I know that you guys had filed something against Facebook on that very topic about getting true diversity on the board. Everyone sit with us. We'll have more with Justin Danhof. He's the General Counsel and Director. If you'd like to find out more about the Free Enterprise Project, head to nationalcenter.org. That's nationalcenter.org. And then under the Programs tab at the top, look for Free Enterprise Project. Or you can find a direct link to it on today's show page on iSpyRadio.com. Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Justin Danhof. He is the General Counsel and Director of the Free Enterprise Project. And we're going to be having him back next week because we've barely scratched the surface of some of the things we had wanted to talk to him about, and especially with all of the censoring now of conservatives, not only on social media, but now they're actually targeting people out in the broader aspects of businesses and whatnot. And in fact, Judy, your press person, put us on to the fact that the NHL just recently canceled a contract or threatened to with their airline provider because there was a Trump person that had moved from his administration, recently joined their board, and they said, you either get rid of him or we are just going to drop you as the provider. So this is shocking stuff. It really is. So we'll be talking more about that next week. But this week, though, you had just mentioned that about the board diversity, and you guys had tried to propose something like that to Facebook. I don't think it's any I think we can all pretty much guess how that went. But as far as Zuckerberg is concerned, I mean, does he really care about that sort of thing and any kind of proposals that you put in front of him? Because he owns a majority stake and doesn't have to really take anything from anyone, does he?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, right? He set up the stock structure in such a way that he is 51% of Facebook. So yes, nothing can penetrate in that full sense. But say that a shareholder proposal got like 26% of the vote. Well, that would sure show that more than half of the rest of everyone else that's involved in Facebook cares about an issue. So I think there would be an impetus on him to recognize that to a degree. But yeah, he has set up a superstructure. The owners of Google have a similar superstructure with the stock of Alphabet, or the founders of Alphabet have a similar thing. And so look, a lot of this too is education for the other investors, right? To get them thinking about these issues, to say, wait a minute, yeah, monolithic groupthink is bad for us long term. You know, if we're all thinking the same, we're going to walk around like lemmings falling off the same ledge at the same time on the same minute of the same day, because nobody asked critical questions in the room. Nobody could question the board because everyone on the board thinks the same thing. And I think that that's very, very dangerous for some of these large organizations. So I'll give you one other example. We not only filed this resolution with Facebook, but 2 years ago, or I guess 3 years ago, now we're in 2021, Amazon adopted the left-wing board diversity proposal, right? It was put on by the SEIU and cheered on by Jesse Jackson and the like. Where they announced, you know, they were going to do skin surface diversity for their board of directors. Well, when they announced that, I was at the shareholder meeting and I asked Mr. Bezos just point blank. I said, well, that, you know, I just have a question. I said, first of all, would you even be considered for a board seat in this day and age?
Ooh, good one.
Because you are a white male. And second of all, what about viewpoint diversity? And he, from the stage, claimed that he valued viewpoint diversity and that he thought that was important for the board. So after the meeting, I filed a resolution for the next shareholder meeting, asking again for that just very thing that Mr. Bezos from the stage claimed he cared about. The company fought the proposal and then opposed it and said, absolutely not, we're never going to do it. So,
here's the thing, is that polling for decades has consistently shown that conservatives make up about 40% of the population. Some stay about as high as 45. Liberals make up about 25%, and the moderates making up the rest there. So when it comes to corporate governance, I mean, why would you want to eliminate the viewpoints from potentially 40% of your customer base? I mean, isn't that simply just bad business?
No, because yes, it's bad business, but they do it because many of these companies are led by far left individuals that want to be surrounded by a board that supports their worldview. Think about, you know, Tim Cook at Apple, who has folks like Al Gore on his board and Bob Iger on his board. They want both yes men and individuals that back up and assert their worldview. They don't like to be challenged. That's an important point to make. And the second thing is, they can offend 40% of their customer base with impunity because of the conservatives' lack of engagement over the years. Let's go back to the Betsy Ross thing one more time. Nike pulled the Betsy Ross shoe because they knew they could offend 40% of America with impunity, because those same folks that put their Nike shoes in a wood chipper or burned them on Facebook and Twitter, the next time it was soccer season and little Timmy needed cleats, they went and they bought Nikes. Okay, conservatives, again, threaten boycotts all the time, but they never follow through, and it's not productive anyway. Conservatives also, again, back to the first word of the first segment, is engagement. Conservatives haven't been engaged in this cultural battle at all, in part because many conservatives have a libertarian mindset and they think businesses should all be left alone, because we live in an Ayn Rand novel where there's a perfect free market system, which of course we all know isn't true. So, you know, the mindset of leaving business alone has been to our peril.
Hmm. Well, in the time that we got left here, the notion, one of the things you consistently hear is, well, They're a private company and they can just do anything they want. But that's not always true. I mean, especially when you look at like social media. I mean, for example, if you were using your cell phone and say Verizon was listening in and didn't like what you were saying to your family or friends, could they cut you off? I mean, they're a private company, right? So how do you respond to when people come to you and say, well, there's nothing you can really do because they're just private companies?
Well, here's how I would respond. First of all, publicly traded companies made a benefit of the bargain. Right. The benefit of the bargain being that they get money from individuals who invest in their company, and then they are legally bound. They have a fiduciary obligation to act as stewards for their investors, plural, all of them. And I mean the word steward in the very biblical sense of stewardship. Okay. That is their fiduciary legal obligation under state law. They are not to act as stewards for one political party or another. It's all of their investors. So I think when you see actions like Jack Dorsey took to take President Trump off of Twitter and the stock dropped 12%, I think shareholder lawsuits should abound because he just lost 12% of the company's value for a partisan political spat. And it wasn't the 12% sell-off. I'm here to tell you, Mark, that wasn't just a bunch of angry conservative investors. That was business people looking and saying, wait a minute, didn't the president draw a significant amount of people to the platform and a significant amount of the engagement? Aren't we going to lose that now? It was smart business for people to sell the stock, but it hurt other shareholders who are long-term investors, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially when you look at the other thing that they did, they didn't just purge President Trump. They purged hundreds of thousands of users over the last month, and especially over the weekend. And they were claiming that these were all fake accounts, although they just happened to be all conservatives. And although I'm certain they have far more fake accounts who were all leftists. But that actually brings up another question. If they're allowing fake accounts, possibly by the millions, weren't they misrepresenting to investors the value of the company? I mean, can't there be and shouldn't there be shouldn't they be sued by or at least fined by the SEC for that?
Oh, absolutely. But good luck getting the deep state in Washington, D.C. to investigate that.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, unfortunately, we're up against the clock here. As we said, we're going to be having Justin back next week. We'll be talking more about some of the assaults on conservatives. Justin, though, I want to thank you so much for your time this week.
Thank you, Mark. This was a pleasure.
Coming back, we'll talk with Carrie Sheffield. She's the anchor for Just the News AM. We'll be talking with her about what really happened in D.C. and what's really going on right now. Like many of you, I'm a student of history because so many times what happened before is happening and will happen again. And perhaps we have a clear case right now of history repeating itself. Republicans really need to familiarize themselves with the Reichstag fire. In 1933, a fire broke out shortly after 9 p.m. in the Reichstag building, home of the German parliament in Berlin, their capital building. The alleged culprit was Marinus von der Lubbe, a Dutch council member and a member of Germany's Communist Party. Although it was rather odd and stupid of him to be still in the building, which police claimed he'd set fire to when they found him in it. Regardless, Hitler used the attack on the German Capitol building to purge his political opposition by claiming that communists were plotting against the German government and wanted to seize control, which is what he proceeded to do. The day after the attack, Hitler convinced Hindenburg to issue an emergency decree to suspend civil liberties and start arresting supporters of the German Communist Party. In the frenzied aftermath and public outrage, the government began mass arrests, including Communist Parliament members who decried the attack on the Reichstag building. With the arrest, the Nazi Party went from a plurality in Parliament to a majority, and Hitler took full control. But many historians believe it was all a false flag operation by Hitler, that it was his operatives who set the fire and then blamed it on the communists. As I said in the beginning of the show, to the left, and yes, that includes Nazis because they were definitely the big government types, to the left, control means nothing unless it is total control. Watch for that in the days ahead. Just the News is one of the best sheer news sites out there, which is deeply needed right now. News you can trust. I'd like to welcome back Carrie Sheffield. She is the White House correspondent for Just the News and the anchor of the nationally syndicated Just the News AM, which airs Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Carrie, thanks for joining us again.
Good to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching your show the last couple of weeks here. I've really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's great news to wake up to. So you are there in the heart of the beast in Washington, D.C. It just seems like we have officially stepped into the bizarro world where the actions of a few people have painted all 75 million people who voted for Trump, who wanted to make America great again, who were patriots and who loved America. Now suddenly they're insurrectionists. And we've seen this 48-hour fast food impeachment with not a single hearing. No evidence presented, just rage against the president because we hate him and all of his followers. So what do you make of how quickly things have flipped on its head, and what do you attribute that to?
Well, Mark, thanks for having me, and thanks for watching the program, and I hope all your listeners can tune in because we really do try our hardest to get to the truth and to really understand what's happening. And here at Just the News, we've really tried to understand, first of all, to these questions of this horrific Capitol raid, what exactly happened? How did the failures happen? Who knew what? And there are some very big questions about the lapse and the failure here. We'll talk about the security first. So the big questions that are unanswered right now is how much did Nancy Pelosi know and how much did Mitch McConnell know? Hmm. Reportedly, the heads of security for both the House and the Senate chambers, they had been briefed by intel that there could be lethal, deadly, force that was used at the Capitol, and the sergeant at arms for both chambers refused to have the National Guard there because of the questions of, quote, optics. So you bet me $20, I'll bet you $20, those security individuals who had security at both House and Senate chambers, they wouldn't make a decision, we believe, without consulting with McConnell and Pelosi. And so to the extent that they failed to protect their own workplace and engage, allow this to happen, that is a failure of leadership that we're still getting a lot of questions that are unanswered at this point. We are going to keep digging on them. But then to the broader point, because yes, there were failures on security, but yes, the fact that these people were even there to begin with, what was their motivation? We do know that one man, John Sullivan, was just arrested. Yes. And this individual, he's actually from my home state of Utah, but he had been arrested it had been alleged that he had cited riots and violence in 2016 as well, but from the liberal perspective. And so he was someone who, according to these news reports, what he claimed to be there. In fact, my colleague interviewed him. He's 26 years old. Again, his name is John Sullivan. He's a left-wing activist. And he had told my colleague here that he was in town simply to be a journalist and to document what was happening. It turns out now with his charges, he's being charged with incitement. So we do know that there's been at least one liberal protester arrested. But then to the others, as you mentioned, to try to lump them all in together and to say they're all the same, it's truly an exercise in intellectual dishonesty. And I've said this over and over, and I had someone on my program who's a Democrat, and he tried to say, oh, there's no analogy, because I said this is very similar, and it was even more deadly over the summer, the aftermath of the riots in the wake of the death, the very tragic death of George Floyd, that you had violence, you had death. And here in Washington, you had a mob that was trying to storm the White House to the point where the president was mm-hmm. moved to his mm-hmm. bunker. And so when people try to say to me, it's not analogous at all because this was trying to storm the Capitol during the vote count of the Electoral College, I say to them, it is very similar because you have a violent mob. The only difference is that the White House took the threat seriously and allowed the National Guard to do their job. In the case of the Capitol, that didn't happen. So, and then that's why they were unsuccessful, the mob at the White House.
Well, and I guess the difference is, too, that it was an attack against Trump rather than on Mitch and Nancy's castle. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break there. Just the News has a Freedom of Information request that was recently denied, but you'll have to hang on through the break to find out what it was and the astounding reason why it was denied. Here's a hint. Sounds an awful lot like a cover-up to me. And welcome back. If you're done with Fox News and their anti-Trump bias and you're looking for a new news source, I highly recommend Just the News and America's Voice. Carrie Sheffield is the White House correspondent for Just the News and also the anchor of the nationally syndicated TV show Just the News AM, which airs Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find out more about heading to americasvoice.news. Carrie, you had mentioned in that last segment discussing the sergeants of arms in the House and the Senate and the chief of police for the Capitol and his request for an increased presence of National Guard. Would that and the fact that they would likely have consulted with both Pelosi and Mitch, the consulting, would that be the normal process for them to do that?
As far as bringing the National Guard, I mean, that wouldn't be normal, but it's an extraordinary circumstance. The fact that there has been intel that there was knowledge or expectation of that something like this might occur, that some, you know, agitators who wanted to commit violence were premeditatedly here targeting this event at this location. And so it certainly is, from a security standpoint, normal for the Sergeant of Arms of the House and Senate to consult with Pelosi and McConnell. So again, we don't know the answers to these questions, but we're going to continue to answer what did they know and when did they know it. It does seem in many respects that the possibility of this being premeditated, it would certainly, if it was premeditated, it would certainly fly in the face of this argument that justified, quote unquote, the impeachment, right, which was that Trump had a spontaneous riot erupted from his words, from his lips, which is undercut by the fact that this seems to have been planned weeks in advance. And Congressman Jim Clyburn, who's a Democrat, he has an unmarked office. And he said himself, the fact that these rioters were able to find his office very quickly, there's some evidence to suggest that some of these rioters pre-planned everything. They had maps. They knew where exactly to target, where to go. But again, these two are not the same. The average, you know, a patriotic American who had concerns about the election or supported the president is not the same as a pre-planned, premeditated, violent insurrectionist.
No, absolutely not. And so you guys are following, I think, a really interesting story. And you've got a FOIA request out there. And just to set the stage a little bit, after the assault on the Capitol, the Sergeant of Arms for the House and Senate have both resigned, along with Steve Sund. He's the Capitol, the chief of police for the Capitol Police. But they've had interviews with the Metropolitan Police, which is the chief investigator into what happened on the assault on the Capitol. You guys have done a FOIA request to get some those interview notes. It was immediately rejected, and they won't release them because they were personally embarrassing, and they deemed the information, quote, of a personal nature where the public disclosure thereof would constitute a clearly unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. That's not at all suspicious. Can you talk to our audience more about that?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It is very suspicious. And in the rejection on the FOIA request, it's the freedom of information, where we as citizens have the right to get access to information that is owned and created by a government official. So for them to use this excuse to say it's of a personal nature, where the public disclosure of what would constitute an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, really doesn't make sense, because we're talking about a public property. We're talking about an event that happened on public ground with public officials, where taxpayer money was being used to pay for the police who were supposed to be guarding this. At the very least, if there was something that was going to put someone in danger with personal disclosures, that could be redacted. But the main portions of what happened, to be able to understand from a transparency standpoint the failures, this is a no-brainer. This is something that needs to be released. And so we're challenging it. They said you can either bring it up with the mayor or you can bring it up in court. So we don't anticipate the mayor being very receptive to our request, just given what we know about the mayor. But who knows? Mayors can surprise. We would be surprised. But there's also the legal avenue. I can't speak for our organization as to legal strategy, but we do know for a fact that journalistically this just really stinks to high heaven.
Oh, absolutely. Especially given the fact that Steve Sund, the U.S. Capitol Police Chief there, after he resigned, he gave an interview to The Washington Post, and he said that in the days leading up to Wednesday, he became so worried about the size of the crowds that they're expecting that he not only requested once for the D.C. National Guard to be on standby, but six times. I mean, that, I think, would be extremely embarrassing, because it shows a complete failure on their part.
Well, and the fact that now they're bringing in 20,000 troops, and I was just walking to the office, it's almost impossible to get where you need to go around this city. But I passed by a huge crowd of these National Guardsmen. And I do have to say also the way they're being treated by the mayor here, it's just unconscionable. The mayor here, the hotel capacity, it's my colleague who works in another office was saying their hotel is only 10% full. There's so many empty hotel beds. And yet our servicemen are sleeping on the ground at the U.S. Capitol. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, if they're worried about optics then on the 6th, why on earth are they not worried about it now? Okay, everyone stay with us. We'll wrap things up with Carrie Sheffield, the anchor of Just the News AM. Coming up, we'll be talking about the Thought Police and the fast food impeachment. Stay with us. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with Carrie Sheffield. She is the White House correspondent for Just the News and also the anchor of the nationally syndicated show Just the News AM. We'll put links on today's show page at iSpyRadio.com for how you can find both of those. You'll definitely want to add those to your news lineup for sure. So, Carrie, with the rush to impeach, with no hearings, no evidence, and now these attacks on Trump voters as if they are somehow un-American, despite the fact that their rallying cry was Make America Great Again, it just seems like we've stepped into the pages of 1984. I mean, you're right there in the middle of Washington. Are you personally seeing a lot of this madness around you? What do you make of it?
I mean, it's really is something out of the Twilight Zone. But at the same time, maybe your viewers or your listeners had heard about an interview that Mikhail Gorbachev gave. It seemed very cryptic after this. Yes. That he said he recognizes what happened here. He thinks that it was premeditated and he knows who was behind it. And he was the victim when he was in office and he had been trying to lead reforms and there was an attempted coup against him. The possibility, I mean, we know from 2016 and just the intel since then that there are a lot of foreign actors who are very interested in turning Americans on each other.
Sure.
They're interested in agitating us. They, you know, that was the push to on the far left and the far right to really pit people against each other, because from their perspective, they believe that America is a failed experiment. This question of freedom and liberty and First Amendment and freedom of expression, it is completely antithetical to the Soviet, the socialist, the communist, the authoritarian regimes of the Soviet Union and what Vladimir Putin's been doing from an oligarchical standpoint, but also the Chinese and the Iranians. And so just all these foreign actors that we know have tried to, and in some cases been successful at attacking American digital infrastructure, and they really want to undermine us. And it's really unfortunate that we are susceptible to that because we're not looking at each other as Americans first. We're slicing and dicing up each other based on politics or race or gender.
Well, and I did see that article on Just the News, and we'll make sure that we link that up about Gorbachev. Has there been any developments in that? Because he said that he knew who it was, but he wasn't going to say anything. Has he given any more indications or interviews on that?
He's not. We've actually tried, my colleague Susan Kepp-Keating has tried reaching out, and we haven't gotten a response yet, but if we get one, we'll obviously publish it. I asked Secretary Ben Carson, the HUD secretary, about that interview, and he says it reminded him of I later on after the interview, I went up to look more about it, but the 8 stages of civilization, where sociologists and historians have documented this, that the 8 stages of society throughout history is that they are in bondage, they have moments of courage and liberty, and then they experience freedom, then they get abundance, but then they get complacency, and then they get tyranny. And he said we're heading in that step of tyranny very quickly, and he's worried about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So in all this rush to judgment where the where Trump is guilty of inciting violence, where are the clips on the mainstream media of Trump's speech where he called for insurrection or violence? The only clip, I listened to the whole speech. I didn't hear any of that. The only things that I did hear him calling for was peaceful protests. And I just imagine that if he had actually said any of that, those clips would be running 24/7. Social media would be forcing it into your feed. I mean, it just seems so irresponsible by the mainstream media that they're lying by omission to the American people. And that, I think, is the real insurrection and call to violence, because Trump supporters are being threatened. Some are being physically assaulted, including the wife of Roger Stone, who was assaulted while walking her dog. And some are losing their jobs. How is this fast food impeachment healing America and bringing unity?
Well, that's what the president believes, is that the Democrats are really overreaching here, and they did their own internal polling by the PAC, the president's PAC, Save America PAC. And I spoke to the director who did that polling. His name is John McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. And this polling was done in 17 swing states. He did it on Sunday and Monday, so this is after the riots. And he found that 77% of Americans think Congress should focus on fighting the coronavirus. Everything we're dealing with, the shutdowns, we have the highest unemployment numbers since August. People are hurting and they're upset. And so 77% said, Congress, do your job, focus on coronavirus. And only 23% said they wanted to focus on impeachment. So a 3-to-1 ratio, they said, don't impeach. And they went ahead and did it. So yeah. The president believes that this is going to come back and backfire.
Yes, well, I certainly think so. Carrie, I want to thank you so much for your time. Carrie is the anchor of the nationally syndicated Just the News AM. You can catch that Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Carrie, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.
That is all of our time for today. We certainly hope that you're at least a little wiser for having been here. A reminder that next week we'll be talking with Justin Danhoff some more. That's the general counsel and director of the Free Enterprise Project, our first guest. Next week we'll be focusing more on the legal side of things. We're also trying to get Kimberly Herman of the Southeastern Legal Foundation to come on. She's John Solomon's lawyer, so hopefully she can weigh in on some of these FOIA requests. You know, let's face it. Republicans right now, especially conservatives, are all under attack. If people were seen on camera at the Capitol, even if they're just standing there and peacefully protesting, they're getting attacked and harassed on social media because people see them and share their profiles. Some people are even getting fired from their jobs. So yeah, we'd definitely like to talk to these attorneys a little bit more about that. In fact, if you have questions for these attorneys, if you're being threatened or harassed, drop me a line. All of our contact information is there on iSpyRadio.com or simply mark@iSpyRadio.com. That's my email. In fact, a previous guest of our show, who I will not name, was back there and has been threatened, has been attacked, to the point that they wouldn't even come on our show. We had wanted to hear their perspective, having been right there in the middle of things. But they wouldn't come on after being advised by their attorney not to talk. Think of that. An American citizen unable to use their right to free speech because they were exercising their right to peacefully protest and now being threatened by an angry, hateful mob. This has to stop. Because, as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.